I want to introduce you to a new image of love. Well, not new, but perhaps new in this context. We have been talking about God as our Father, and Jesus himself spoke constantly of God as our Father. But the Bible gives us another concept of love, and that is that love, the love of bride and groom, it gives us another model of love. And this is one that perhaps especially late people have never been introduced to and don't know, although it's been constant in mystical literature in the Catholic Church, the image of the bride and the groom. The image of the Father is beautiful, but it's not enough, because love really demands equality. And even parents are not the equal of their children, or children are not the equal of their parents. There is a difference between them. They're equal in nature, but you parents, those of you who are parents, you have the experience of finding yourself, your children, seeking the companionship of their peers. They seem sometimes to prefer their peers to their parents. Well, you seek the companionship of your peers, too. That's why women become unhappy in their homes. They miss the companionship of their peers. They need that companionship. The child's companionship is not sufficient for them. And so, love, there's another kind of love, and this is equality. Love demands equality. And this is why we consider married love as the perfect kind of human love that is available in this world of ours. Because it's a love between equals. And it's a love which has special qualities that come with that. It's a love of great intimacy. And it's a love of great tenderness. Or at least these things, these qualities are available to it. And it's a constant love. It's a union. It begins with a preference, a courtship, and then an engagement, and ends in union. They come together. They're not satisfied until they really can live together and be together. And so this is a new image of love which we get in the sacred scripture, which also dominates religious life. Now, if you've ever read the book of a Saint Teresa or a saint, any, even the male religious, they speak of God as a bridegroom. And this is an image which is given to us in sacred scripture. And who is his bride? His people are his bride. You will be my people, I will be your God. You will be my possession. That was the bridal vow among the Jews. You will be my possession. So God and I will be your husband. And it happened that the word husband was the same as the word God, Baal. I will be your Baal. Pagan God was called Baal. You will be my God. I will be your husband. You will be my possession. That was the bridal vow of the Jews. And so God takes that. I will be your husband, God says to us. Yahweh says. And you will be my possession, my bride. And this image appears already in the Old Testament. In fact, we find already in the book of Exodus, God saying, I am a jealous God. That's another quality we have to notice about this bridal relationship. That brings jealousy. Of course, parents can be jealous and children can. But here especially, we find this. God is a jealous God. He's jealous of our love. How can he be jealous of our love? Well, he's not jealous in the same way that we are jealous of one another. It's not a weakness with him, but he does demand an exclusive love, and that's what we mean by jealousy. I am a jealous God. He wants us to love him with our whole heart, and our whole soul, and our whole mind, and with all our strength. That, in that sense, he is indeed a jealous God. And we find this imagery worked out in sacred scripture very beautifully. The supreme example of it is the Song of Songs in the Old Testament, which gives us presents the relationship to God as a love story, a very beautiful love story, very amorous and sensual love story, which surprises people sometimes who it was the story of a perfect love as the Jews considered it, and it was taken therefore by the Jews as a model of love and a model of our love for God and of God's love for us. He is the bridegroom and we, the church, male and female, all in the church are the bride. And so he establishes this bridal love between us, and we there are involved in that. We are invited now to a different kind of love with God, not just the love of a son or a daughter to God, which can be very earnest but still somewhat distant, and but now to this intimate relationship of God, of communion with God, on a level analogous to the level of the bride and the groom, and a jealousy too. And then we find this also in other works of the Old Testament. We'll just mention this and then we'll leave it to develop further this afternoon. It's a way in which the prophets explained and the existence of sin. In the Old Testament, the prophets, they didn't correct the commandments, but they gave the commandments under the sign of love. In other words, they thought of the Hebrews, when the Hebrews were disobedient, that they were really committing adultery. They thought of worldliness, turning to the world, as adultery. And if you read some of the prophets of the Old Testament, they're always accusing the Hebrew people of adultery. You'd think that that was all they did. But they're talking about spiritual adultery, a turning to the world. They committed the other kind too, carnal adultery, but it's, they considered as adultery any turning to the world. Just like a man turns away from his wife and gives his love to a mistress, this is adultery. And so, whenever we, as called to love God with our whole hearts, and this law was already in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, and we turn and we give our love to the world, then we become guilty of spiritual adultery. That's a very concrete and vivid image of what mortal sin is. And that was the image of sin which the Jews had in the prophets. We sometimes say today, you can't teach children about adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. They can't understand it. Any child that watches TV knows all about adultery. Maybe not all about it, but too much. They know what a faithful or faithless husband or wife is. And so it's a very concrete image that is good for all ages, for us to show that God, that the sin is a turning away from God and a spiritual adultery. It's a vivid image. And this is the way the prophets. It began with the prophet Ozi. And that his word is given to us, I think, on the little folder that we have. We gave you the little outline in your for the retreat. There. Behold, I will allure her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. He's talking about his wife. He married a prostitute. And the story of Ozi, the short little book of Ozi, is the one who made this usage current among the Jews, Ozia. He married this prostitute, or harlot, and apparently he loved her, and he kept trying to win her back to fidelity to himself. And this is what he said, I will allure you, we were talking to you, get here in the desert here, I will allure her into the wilderness, and then I will speak tenderly. Like lovers, when they want to make love, they want to be alone. They go off to themselves in solitude. And so Hosea says to his wife, you see, I will allure her into the desert. I will. And so he gives that as an image of God. God trying to allure us back, to draw us back to himself. He was accusing the Hebrew people of turning away from God. Not only in their idols, but in their love of money, in their love of pleasure, all the things that money can buy. This was their idolatry. In fact, this was the reason that the Jews turned so frequent to idolatry, according to Hosea, because they were under the influence of the pagans. They thought that by using the superstitious practices of the pagans, they could become rich and possess the things of this world. And so they turned to paganism in order to get the good things of paganism. So Hosea introduced this usage there. And then you'll find it taken up by the others, Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. They're constantly accusing the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, of adultery. You see, and that was the reason for the comparison, I am a jealous God. So God is jealous. Now this afternoon we'll see what lessons we can learn from this comparison to increase our own love for God. Let us now adjourn and go down and spend our time in prayer, and we'll meet again at lunchtime.